Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 87, being recorded on the 29th of July, 2015. I'm Sujit Mello, and on Skype with me, I have Evan Basilik. Kale Teeter, who is normally with us, is at our internal Microsoft technical conference this week. So he's probably at a party or something now. I hope he's having a good time there.
I was going to say, it's party time at this point.
It's party time. It's about 6:30 or so in the evening there, so I'm sure they're having a good time. That's great. I'm sure he's. I know he's speaking in a couple of sessions, so he's had a rough week. He deserves it. But, yeah. You know, today was an important day, right, Evan, for Microsoft, I think, in a number of ways. We finally released our Windows 10 product. What have you been hearing from your side, from the, you know, your the office and whatnot? Like, what are they saying out there?
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, there's nobody sitting around me this week because the entire rest of my team and folks sitting around me basically went to Tech Ready. But or at the internal conference we talked about. But I will say, and this really kind of surprised me because I completely, you know, I was talking to my wife yesterday about upgrading her, you know, and you know, I have to sell her a little bit because she's not as comfortable with that as I am. But I was just on a random customer call today, and, you know, we were doing some testing with some pads, and so we were waiting for them to spin up, and, you know, unprompted, one of the guys on the phone said, yeah, you know, and I just finished upgrading my laptop to, you know, Windows 2010. You know, I had a little trouble with it recognizing the speaker, you know, the headset speaker, but he said, but I got that fixed, and, you know, we started talking. He's like, yeah, and I upgraded my wife, no big deal. He said, we've done 6 or 7 machines, not a problem.
That's right, great.
Which, you know, completely unprompted. Here's an enterprise customer jumping on this stuff like on day one.
I know. Imagine.
Right? Huh? So that was pretty cool to hear.
I think that a lot of people have been waiting for this. This has been a long-awaited release. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, are you running it yet?
Yep. I mean, I just kept
on
it. I started the installation last night, and it was done by the morning.
Yeah, I've been running it. I've been running the beta builds on, you know, one of my machines, and I recently upgraded my laptop to it. And, it's been great. I mean, I've not had any – I had some problems early on with some drivers and the like, but that's kind of to be expected. But since we got the, you know, the RTM build, it's been really solid. I've been very, very happy.
Yep, I really like it. And as a matter of fact, we're recording this podcast on Windows 10. So let's keep our fingers crossed, make sure everything runs okay. It's the RTM release. But I guess our listeners will be wondering, you know, hey, wait a minute. This is a Windows Azure podcast. Not Windows Azure, sorry. An Azure podcast. And why are we talking about Windows 10, in this? And I suppose one of the nice things about Windows 10 is that it is kind of this whole, it embodies this whole cloud operating system notion that Microsoft has been talking about. It's more cloud friendly, I suppose, than previous versions of Windows. So, and there is a tie-in, there are tie-ins between Azure and Windows 10. And I thought, like, maybe we could just talk about a few of them and show our listeners, you know, where Windows Azure is leveraged in Windows 10 and vice versa. And also we'll share with them how they could try out Windows 10 on Windows Azure and things like that. So we've got a few items that we can just talk about, we'll see where that takes us, okay?
Yeah, no, and I think the other thing we ought to mention too, right, and check me on the, I was thinking about the dates. This is the first operating system, a release that we've done where, I mean, I guess 8.1 Azure existed, but it really wasn't to the scale and to the, you know, have all the flexibility and capabilities that it does today, right, versus Windows 10 was really designed knowing that was going to be there. right? So we could really make it a core part of things than rather just, some minimal touch
Yeah, exactly.
type stuff. And I
Slapped
think it,
on.
yeah, exactly. This was built with that being there versus, like you said, the other way around. We just kind of integrated it where we could. But, and I think it'll be interesting to see, at, because, Windows, if you follow what we're talking, is this is the last release of Windows. Going on, going forward, it's just we're going to be incremental changes, and it's just kind of always going to be continuing to improve and grow. It wouldn't surprise me to see things, later this year, and going to next year, where it's just like, wow, all of a sudden we get this really tight, I don't know, maybe some storage integration or something like that, right? Where you just are using the stuff behind the scenes you don't know. But yeah, some of the things we'll talk about today are there now, and they function right now.
So the first one is something that I think we may have touched upon in previous episodes, but it's worth mentioning over here, and that Windows 10 is the first version of Windows where you could work directly with Azure AD, right, as a first-class citizen. You don't really need an on-premises version of Azure if you don't have it. And this is a big deal for a number of small and medium companies that don't want to have to go through that setup of setting up a domain controller and multiple domain controllers and whatnot, and having all the infrastructure and the personnel to look after all that. They could just, if they have Windows 10 devices on, if that's what they use, they could directly attach them to Azure AD as their and also manage the device using the MDM, the mobile device management capabilities built into Azure. So that's I think that's one of the biggest things I see. That's a good example of what Windows 10 included out of the box. This support for Azure AD.
Yeah, I mean the fact that you can now domain join when you're not on your domain, right, is really cool. Because I mean, I know, I mean, I guess you, I don't know, are you ever actually in a Microsoft corporate office, Suji, or are you
About
generally at your client's office?
once a year, I visit the office, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you're kind of the classic person, right? I mean, there are certain things that you would have had to do historically that you have to go on to our corporate network to do,
Right.
right? And now you won't have to do that.
I
We
agree.
hope.
This and I, this really applies more to the medium-sized businesses, right? I'm sure large businesses will still want to have their own AD forms and whatnot, but I think medium and small businesses just lowers the bar to get into that space where they have a managed set of devices. Because I think in the past, small businesses probably said, it's too much complicated. We just set up a work group or whatever they used to call it before, right?
Yeah.
A very loose gathering of computers, so to speak, that were not really managed in any way. And now they don't have to forfeit that need. They can have all that management capability in Azure AD as well as have the MDM capabilities for all the devices. Because let's face it, bring your own device is a very common thing today, and that is always has to be seen as part of the whole package, right? It's not just Windows 10 that's coming up. Yes, we have Windows Phone or Windows Mobile now, which also runs Windows 10 kernel, but there is iOS and Android devices that people have, and you have to have a something that can manage all of those. And it's nice that they have this Azure service that can manage not only the mobile devices but also the laptops and the PCs.
Yeah, I mean, think about it, right? It's these days we all kind of live in both worlds at all times, right? We're carrying our phone around, which is kind of our personal stuff. We might have a laptop or whatever at home, get your work stuff. But the problem is always, hey, I have these emails, files, whatever on my device, be it my own personal device that I want work stuff on, or my work device that I want personal stuff on, and you were always kind of breaking those barriers or breaking those boundaries, right? I might email something to myself at work, so I had it. Well, now they can control the work, the work things, the things that you get from, from your organizational ID, your organization. They can attach those to the MDM on your device, and then if you leave, all that stuff goes away. And conversely, right, I can get to my kind of have min integration with my personal services on my work computer.
right.
Right, which I mean, and that's really the, if you listen to what Satya is really pitching, that's what he's talking about, is this ability to basically not necessarily merge your identities, because nobody, I don't think anybody really wants to do that, but leverage these cloud capabilities to allow you just to take it with you wherever you go.
Right.
Right, and I think this is a huge step in that direction.
Exactly. And then, if there are companies that already have an infrastructure on premises, the an Active Directory infrastructure, but now they're using the Office 365 in the cloud to log in. Windows 10 is the first version of Windows that understands that the AD directory account, Active Directory account, is associated with a synchronized Azure AD account, so it's aware of that link up between Azure AD and the on-premise AD, and so that all the group policy settings, etc., and all, they work now across both of them. And this is again very important for companies that already have maybe a Windows 7 or Windows 8 deployment with that, with on-premises AD. They can safely upgrade to Windows 10 and still have enjoy some of the new features that Windows 10 has, which is that blended view across both the on-premises and the cloud-based AD.
Yeah, no, it really is blending, taking the best from both sides, right? The cloud side of Azure AD allows you to roam and get access from wherever, but you're not having to, completely jump, right? And now the OS allows you to be aware in both those situations. It's interesting. One of the articles I read talked about the ability to do, and I haven't tested this myself, but to do single sign-on to a cloud service when you're not on your corporate network. Right, which today that's a little bit of a hassle.
Right.
I'd be really interested to try it and see what that behaves like, with Windows 10 and kind of this active stuff. Although I think two-factor authentication is probably going to get in my way.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I am putting my virtual smart card. Thank goodness for a virtual one. My virtual smart card password in. I don't know how many times a day these days. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Across the different services. So,
And then
but yeah, no. You...
we've been using the phone factor, right? The phone
Yeah.
authenticator as well. So that's so there's a lot of I guess for a lot of the Azure resources, instead of the smart card, they use that two-factor authentication up in the cloud,
Yeah.
which is nice.
Yep.
So the so that's that covers the whole Azure AD part of it, but there's a whole different way to look at the integration between Windows 10 and Azure, and this comes up more in the IoT space. We haven't talked about the Azure IoT suite in a long time, but essentially, in the past we've had a number of different services that supported IoT, like the event hubs, etc., that were that were made to support controlling and collecting data from all these IoT, millions of IoT devices. And Microsoft came up with the Azure IoT Suite, which kind of bundled all of that together into a uniform offering, which has been quite well received. But the Azure IoT Suite only kind of works if the actual IoT device itself has some smarts in it, right? Because you want to be able to reach out and control the device and manage it and also get data from it. And the Windows 10 operating system now has an IoT version of it. It's a scale down. It's for these Netduino boards or Arduino and all the I forget what the other name the boards that are out there that have the very small footprint of Windows 10 on them, but they do support but they do have all the smarts in them to make them work with this Azure IoT suite. And so now Windows 10 IoT devices, or it's called the Windows 10 IoT Edition, I think, if all those devices out there can be controlled and managed with this IoT suite, which I think is a very big deal.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that becomes really, really powerful, I think, as you move towards the universal applications and this, common driver set across this. I mean, you Because today, I mean, part of the problem is I'm running this OS over here, and I'm using this set of hardware and this HAL and all the like. Well, now you have this uniform one across, and this isn't true today, but it's moving this direction, right? Xbox plus devices plus phone plus PCs. I mean, we were thrilled if it, we called it Windows in both places previously. Right now, it actually is the same OS.
Yep.
And on these little devices, I one of the guys I work with is kind of working on how we support IoT and some of the challenges in that space. But talking to him, I mean, it's really been an interesting exercise, according to him, about how to figure out how do we cut Windows down to fit on those devices, because these things are tiny, right? And still make it provide the functionality that it needs to. Right. And I think some of that will carry up to, the bigger SKUs, right? Any optimizations we do at the IoT SKU will absolutely help the other SKUs, right? Less memory usage, better performance, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's a great win across the board.
And Windows 10 IoT devices will provide that enterprise grade IoT manageability, right? Today, doing that requires the app developer to provide a lot of code. If they want to make an IoT device that is manageable, they have to write a lot of glue code to connect with the server, send feedback, get commands, and so on and so forth. Now that's kind of all going to be built in into this Windows 10 IoT version or edition. So there's a lot less development work overhead. It's kind of built into the OS, and then the app developers can focus on, providing whatever functionality that particular IoT device is going to provide.
I think that's going to be really, really interesting. I mean, do you, I mean, what was it? Just, I guess it was after we met last week where they hacked the, I can't remember what brand of car it was, but somebody figured out how
Oh
to
yeah,
hack the
the
vehicle.
connected car, yeah, the connected car.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It was a Jeep or
I mean,
something.
think about when someone, I mean, someone can, you want to make sure you're using, stuff that it has enterprise level standards, because you don't want your sprinkler hacked or your, toaster or whatever. I mean, although maybe your toaster's not so bad, but your sprinkler could be a real problem.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of the connected car, they were able to turn on the AC, turn on the music, and I think even just turn off the engine at some
Yeah.
point, which
That's.
is the scariest part. Imagine just stopping in the middle of a highway.
Yeah,
So.
I mean, it kind of brings home the old joke, and I guess you kind of accept your past, right? Back when Windows was not really a server class OS, people would laugh about, well, imagine if your car's, ran like Windows, you have to restart it every couple of days, as you're going down the road. Now, I mean, today Windows is really, really solid. I mean, I've seen server OSs, server builds that, with the exception of maybe, the updates, run just continuously, right?
Right.
But now, you not only have to worry about what you're running in your car, but what somebody can get to it. And is that OS secure? Is what they're doing, safe and controlled? Right? Windows will bring a lot of that stuff to that. All the stuff that we've done in the platform by default is going to be there. I mean, that's great.
Yep. Okay, so that covers the IoT angle. Then let's talk about the third, probably the most, I would say the most common thing that most folks would want to try, which is okay, you're an administrator and you love this Windows 10 stuff, but you want to just try it out, make sure it's, all your apps maybe work on it or whatever apps that you have can run on it. You want to be able to install it somewhere, and I think, putting it up in Azure, getting Windows 10 running in an Azure IaaS VM is a good quick way to kick it around and try it out. But I think, Evan, as we discovered, it's a little tricky to find this, right,
Yeah,
in the store.
I was, when we were, prepping for the talk tonight, you were talking about, showing somebody how to upgrade to Windows 10 in the store, and or in Azure, and I was sitting there going, I know we have an image out there. How can we not have an image? We've had an image for everything we've shipped, and I'm gonna actually file a bug with the portal team, probably, later tonight or tomorrow, because it is filed in a strange place. But there is one out there, and it's not the RTM build yet. Although I guess you could upgrade it, right? I mean, that's the beauty to these insider builds,
Right.
right? They're, it's just in the build chain, right? Download Windows Update, now you've got the new stuff.
That's
But
right.
I guess we'll put a screenshot up on the on the website, but yeah, it's not as easy to find as you would think, but we definitely do have an image that you can spin up out there and just play with.
Exactly, and that's the technical preview, I think, right? Is what the image is,
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
yeah,
Yeah.
and of course, if I mean, it's always been possible to package your own, I guess, a VHD if you have to do that. If you've got a customized version of Windows 10, maybe something that your testing team is using internally, or it contains a bunch of your apps on preloaded. You could always do that as usual, create your own VHD and put it to storage, blob storage, and then, create an image from there. You got to run the sysprep, et cetera, just like normal. So if companies have their own instance, so own image, a base image of Windows 10, they could take that route and put it up there right now. But if you don't want to get involved, you just want to try it out, then the best way is to use that the technical preview that we're going to show you how to get access to, and we hope that that'll get a little easier to find. If just searching Windows in the marketplace does not pull it up for some reason.
Yeah, it's under, you end up having to filter on, what was it, application, or no, where was it? Application infrastructure, which is kind of weird, but, and actually, we'll have to test after we get off the show whether or not this works for non-MSDN as well, right? Because
Right,
I was testing with my MSDN.
me too. Yeah, I think
Yeah, but.
I know the Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 VHDs are only for MSDN subscriptions.
Yeah, I'll actually test it while we're talking. But the other thing is, as the support guy, I got to say this. So today, the client OS images like Windows 10, Windows 8.1 are only supported when you're doing dev test scenarios. Which means if you have a problem with the VM itself, my VM won't boot, or just something's going wrong with the VM, then we're not going to help you. Well,
Right.
it's not a supported scenario from that aspect. The same is true if you upgrade your OS from something to something else. Now, I was thinking about this earlier. I'm not sure what our stance is going to be, since you're never going to upgrade again. You're just basically putting on, not, there won't be patches anymore. I don't know what we're going to call them yet. But if you're really never doing a true OS upgrade like we used to call it, maybe we do support doing this going forward with Windows 10 type and Windows, I guess 2016,
Well, I
type
think,
stuff.
yeah, I think in the past, I believe we've had that stance for any desktop operating system on Azure, right?
Yeah, but even in, that's 100% true. But on the upgrade part, even if you upgrade a server OS, we didn't support it.
Oh, you
So
mean
we actually.
upgrade the desktop to server? Is that what you meant?
No,
Or
upgrade, like, so let's say you had a 2008 R2
yeah.
instance running in Azure, and you wanted to upgrade that to 2012,
Oh, you just can't
right?
upgrade it. Okay, you have to boot from a Windows 2012 image
Yeah,
itself. You've got to create a
you have to
base
build a new
image.
gallery. Yeah, build a new gallery image
I
or
see
something
that's
else.
what you
Now,
mean.
and from I'm sure I've never taken the time to go figure out exactly why we landed with that stance, but I'm almost positive it comes down to the fact that, like we were talking about, like building the OS for the cloud. That we really historically, when we were building in 2008 R2, we didn't know about this thing called Azure. I mean, we might have been starting to talk about it, and it
Right.
might have been there, but the idea that that was just how everything was going to run wasn't true. So we didn't really test, well, what happens if this goes wrong in setup? How do you recover?
Right.
Right? If you don't have RDP access, how do you fix this VM that's kind of stuck? I got to think with, again, this is just Evan thinking out loud. I haven't heard us officially change our support stance, but with, now that we're not doing those types of upgrades, and the fact that Windows 10 and the server version, whatever we, finally call it 2016 or whatever, it was built knowing that this stuff can happen.
Right.
Right? So it wouldn't surprise me to see us change our
I
support
agree.
stance
That's a
at some
very good
point.
point. Very good point.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, today, don't do it, or if you do, don't call me.
Good point. Yeah. Great. All right. So that covers actually, if you need to test an app that's running under Windows 10, you can put it up in Azure. But if you just don't have an app, but you just want to test the new modern browser, right? The one that's in Windows 10. Windows 10 includes a new version of IE and also the Edge browser. Now, I don't know, the Edge browser itself is more of an app. I think it's just like an app under Windows 10, so that'll get constantly updated. But if you want to test the new version of IE that comes with Windows 10, you don't have to go through the whole process of installing Windows 10 into a VM. You could leverage our remote app facility in Azure, and there is a website called remote.modern.ie, which allows you to provision essentially a Windows 10 IE instance in Azure in the remote app facility, and then you just download the remote app client, and they have remote app clients for, for Windows, for Mac, for Android, I think for Linux too, I forget. But essentially, there's a client for any all of them, and then you can use one of those clients to connect into that remote app instance that has the IE browser. So you actually see the Windows 10 IE browser on your machine where you run that client, the remote app client, and then you could test your web server, your app, whatever app that you're trying to test. Maybe you have an intranet app or internet app that you want to make sure works in the new version of IE. You could do that just by using that facility, and it's a free facility. Essentially, they deploy it in your instance in your Azure subscription for you, so you don't have to go through that step of deploying that modern that Windows 10 version of IE yourself. That's prepackaged for you. You just have to there's a sign-up process, and they do it. It's all set up. And I tried that today. It actually works pretty good.
Did now were you did it actually through, point to site or whatever, where did it allow you to actually come back to your to the corporate network? I actually haven't tried this. Right? Because I know because remote app right can deploy. We actually I don't think we've done a session on remote app. We probably ought to.
Yeah, we keep talking about it. Yeah, I know you're right. I don't think unless you have the whatever the Express Route or the VPN back, right?
Right.
You won't be able to connect back into an intranet app. Very good point.
Yeah, but I think I suspect that if this is just using a standard remote app with this kind of, with the Windows 10 and the Edge image in it, it'll deploy to a VNet that you of your own if you want. Which means if you have a site to site, you could do this. Or don't forget, folks shouldn't forget that if you do that, you could also do a point to site client. Now that won't allow you necessarily to go back on your on-premise network, but you could kind of do some testing.
Yeah.
From that scenario. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I remember when we were launching like IE 10 or 11, that they did we did something similar to this, but I remember like you had to, set some special flags on the page, and we would try and analyze it and decide whether or not it was going to have problems. This seems like a much, much smoother, easier solution,
Yeah.
especially public-facing stuff, right,
Exactly.
that
Yeah, I
you
mean,
can really do.
took me all of 5 minutes to get it up and running today. It
Yeah.
was quite cool.
And it's not even an emulator, right? I mean, this is the real Windows and the real Edge.
Exactly. This is the real
So,
deal. So
yeah.
yeah. So that's a very low touch way if you just want to test your apps using Windows 10 Modern IE. And then finally, more from a development slant. For developers that are using the Azure SDK that may have not updated to Windows 10, I believe from the version 2.5 onwards of the SDK, Windows 10 is supported, and currently the version is version 2.7 of the Azure SDK, and that I think that supports the RTM version of Windows 10. It also supports both Visual Studio 2013 as well as Visual Studio 2015, which was released when last week or earlier this
Yeah,
week.
last week, because Cale and
Last
I
week.
talked about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So correct. Yeah, you guys spoke about it on the podcast. So that's a supported configuration now, and you can feel free to upgrade to Windows 10, and as long as you have the new version of the SDK, everything will work just fine. So it looks like this might be a marriage made in heaven, huh? Windows 10 and Azure. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think so, man. I think it opens up. I was talking to somebody in the cluster space, and I don't know a lot about cluster, but they were talking about some things with, the ability to have, or the theoretical ability to have, like, shared volumes and stuff. And we're not there yet, but they were talking about, man, at some point we're going to have the ability to, use a blob storage as a, a shared volume for a cluster to decide who's the active node in the cluster. I mean, imagine the resources you would have had to do 5 years or 10 years ago to be able to do that, spin up a website and, somehow provide the service to people. And we'll, now it, the, if we, if we decide we want to provide that, we just spin up a service in Azure and then the OS ties into it. I mean, that's, I mean, incredibly easy.
It's all good.
Right. So yeah, no, I think they're a great combination, especially now that they become aware of each other. Right.
And I mean, of course, the next logical step in this is going to be the new Windows Server, right? That has the Windows 10 kernel in it, so to speak, which is the Windows Server 2016. Is that the official name for it?
I don't know. I started hearing people call it that externally, but I'm not sure. I suspect it'll be like some of the other names, right? After a while, the public just calls it that enough. We go, ah, sure, what the heck?
Right. I wonder if they're going to do the same thing with the server, right? Where there'll be just one number and then that gets constantly updated.
Yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me because, I mean, the kernel, I mean, it's shared. We've had a shared kernel for since 2008, I think. 2008 or 2008 R2. Actually, it would be 2008 because we didn't really, I mean, there weren't massive kernel changes between the 08 and 08 R2. So, we've, I don't know if you've been in debugger since then, but when you go into debugger and look at the version of the kernel, you actually can't tell the difference between Windows 7 and Windows 2012 R2. Right? It is the same core kernel, right, with different pieces in there. But if you just do a, I forget, version. Vertar, I can't remember the command in the debugger off the top of my head, but if you do that on both a client memory dump and a server memory dump, can't tell the difference just from that. So yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I'm almost positive they'll share a kernel, and yeah, I suspect this behavior will be the same going forward. It's a brave new world.
All right. Well, so we'll put some of those links and resources in the show notes so our listeners have access to all of that. But that's our Windows 10 special for today in celebration of the launch of Windows 10. And certainly our listeners are encouraged to update to Windows 10 in a way that they feel comfortable. As I know, I have updated both my machines, and it was painless process to say the least. Just I didn't even have to do anything. They never asked me a single question, just did it. And after some number of hours, I was logged in, and that was it.
Long as it's done by the time you wake up in the morning, it really doesn't matter, right?
Exactly. Yep.
But I will say, while we were talking, I did test, and the Insider Preview is also under a non-MSDN subscription as well.
That's excellent.
So definitely encourage people to check that out. But yeah, as far as the upgrades, I'm with you. I mean, it's been very painless on my upgrades. I'm even to the point where I'm willing to consider my wife and my daughter, starting school in a couple of weeks. I might even upgrade theirs before school.
Cool, that's cool. Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, something new for them to show off.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really that fear factor, right? Because if it goes wrong, and they get to school starting with something not working, right, I'm in serious trouble. So I won't. The fact that I'm even considering it at this point, it really is, to me, kind of shows the comfort level I've got with it after, using it for a while now. So.
Right. Cool. All right, Evan, thanks a lot for all those discussions on Windows 10, and I guess we'll touch base with Cale. Maybe he has some juicy bits of information that he can share publicly when he comes back from Seattle next week.
Yeah, that'd be great. Sounds good.
All right, great.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle @AzurePodcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.